I need the Lord's help very much. Would appreciate your prayers. I was on my way to this meeting, and I stopped by my hometown of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I had some extra time on my hands because I was going to pick up Brother Marco at the airport. And I went to my old high school. I went up to the door and I rang the buzzer and they let me in. And for the first time since the early 1980s, I stepped foot inside that building. And it was like stepping back in time. I got to walk up and down some of the same halls, but they were quiet and pretty empty. It was a lot different from 44 years ago. I remember being there and walking down the hall in the spring of 1982. It was getting close to graduation day, and there was excitement in the air. People had their dreams ahead of them, their lives. And I remember walking behind two young men. One of them said, "I'm going to be a doctor." The other one said, "I'm going to be a lawyer. I am going to be filthy rich." And I've wondered different times, what became of that young man? It'd be interesting to know his life story, wouldn't it? The desire to be filthy rich. You know that people set some very high goals for themselves in life? And it's amazing, some people actually achieve those goals. You think about Alexander the Great, the area that that man conquered, and I think he may have died at 33 years old. The territory that he conquered, including modern-day Greece, Turkey, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and parts of Central Asia. And he had no motorized vehicles, he had no planes, no drones, no bombs, no telecommunication. He set a high goal, and amazingly, he achieved it. Cornelius Vanderbilt, he built one of America's greatest fortunes. He dominated the shipping and railroad industries. But he didn't start out rich. He started out with a $100 loan at age 16. And he went on to build an amazing empire. And he left behind an estate that in today's dollars would have been about $3 billion. There are other people that we could think of that also were high achievers. We can think of some folks today. There's Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. And there is something about these men that have something in common. What they have in common is that they have a goal and they are focused on that goal. It is like an intense laser focus. If you asked a young boy what he wants to be when he grows up, he might say, "I want to be a football player, I want to be a fireman, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be the president of the United States." I don't know what your goals are here tonight, but I want to suggest to you a goal that is greater than any of these goals, greater than a financial empire, a political empire. Getting to heaven. How's that for a goal? Anybody here want to go to heaven? We all want to go, don't we? Is anybody here interested in being so focused on this goal that nothing will hinder you? That you're willing to pay any price that it takes to achieve that goal? There have been men who focus so intensely on their goal, and they actually happen to succeed. There was one man who walked out, and apparently he was having some marriage troubles. And he spoke to his wife, and he said, remember, job is first, and you're second. He built a financial empire, but he lost his marriage. What goal do we have first in life tonight? This goal of getting to heaven, to me, is far higher than any other goal we could possibly have. It's my greatest goal for myself. It's my greatest goal for my family, my children, my grandchildren. There's nothing more important to me than that we all make it to heaven. And I hope that's your goal tonight. I hope that everyone here, there's no greater goal. We don't want to see anybody lost. Did you know that everybody could go to heaven, but not everybody will? Jesus told us that in Matthew 7 and 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it's not enough to just say, Lord, Lord. We actually have to do something. What do we have to do? We have to do the will of our Father which is in heaven. That's a part of being laser focused on this goal. We have to be willing to lay aside our own will and take up the will of the Father and do whatever it takes to get to heaven. It's not enough to join a church. It's not enough to have our name in a church book somewhere. We actually have to do the will of the Father. It's not enough to take up one of the slogans that they have today, just put your trust in Jesus. We have to do more than that. We have to do the will of the Father. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 12, from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent do what? They take it by force. Do you know what Cornelius Vanderbilt did to establish his dominance in the transportation industry? He was ruthless. He would undercut competitors and drive them into bankruptcy. And he didn't care. He was intent on a goal. I'm not recommending treating people that way. But when it comes to heaven, we better not let anything stop us or get between us and that goal. We better be willing to be like the violent that take it by force, that are willing to pay any price that it takes to get there. Back to Matthew 7 and 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are folks that are going to come to the end of life's way expecting to get into heaven, and they are going to hear these same words. I never knew you. And why will they hear that? Because they were working iniquity in their lives. Of the people in the United States that actually believe in heaven, about 75% believe that they're going there. Some folks are going to be surprised, aren't they? But none of us here tonight have to be surprised. All of us could make it. Today, it seems like folks think there really aren't many requirements to get to heaven. Have you ever been to a funeral of someone who lived a very wicked life? You knew it. Everybody in the crowd knew it and died suddenly. But yet the preacher is preaching them right into heaven. To me, that's not fair to the audience. Because there are folks sitting in the audience thinking, if that person could live that way and make it into heaven, then I'm in pretty good shape. God help us. Heaven is a gated community. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, neither thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Do you notice it uses the word inherit? Inherit is something you're expecting to receive someday. And the Bible teaches us folks that are living these types of lifestyles are not going to be able to make it into heaven. The unrighteous shall not enter into heaven, into the kingdom of heaven, either in this life or in the life to come. But here's the beautiful part, verse 11, but such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't it wonderful that no matter what kind of lifestyle we have lived, there's hope for us. We can be washed, we can be set free, and we can eventually inherit heaven. A fornicator, this term comes from the Latin word fornicare, which meant to consort with prostitutes. Over time, it broadened to include any unmarried individual having sexual relations. Fornication is rampant in our society today. It is one of the predominant themes of the entertainment world. And yet, it is the very thing that's going to keep people out of heaven. An idolater, a worshiper of idols, one who pays divine honors to images, statues, or representations of anything made by hand, who worships as a deity that which is not God, a pagan. Well, an idolater is someone who worships a stone statue, right? But an idolater can be more than that. It can be someone who worships anything above God. It can be pleasure, it can be fame, it can be building political empires, whatever it may be, the praise of man. If we have that in our hearts above the position of God, that is idolatry and will keep us out of heaven. Paul told us that in the last days perilous times will come. And he went on to say that men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's a temptation today. That is catching a lot of people loving pleasure more than they love God. And idolatry will keep us out of heaven. Adulterers are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Luke 16 and 18, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband, committeth adultery. Abusers of themselves with mankind. A sodomite, one who abuses or defiles himself with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You think about a drunkard. What does a drunkard give up? For the pleasure of drunkenness. Have you ever seen one on the street? Some of these folks have given up their health, their marriage, their home, their job, their financial savings. For what? The pleasure of drunkenness. And what else have they given up? Being able to inherit heaven someday. Revilers. To revile is to treat with contemptuous language. Language that suggests another person is worthless. God help us. We heard about how we ought to view other people. Clark says, he who is not a child of God has no right to the family inheritance, for that inheritance is for the children. Well, aren't we all children of God? Do you ever hear that? We're all children of God. Well, Jesus spoke to the Jews, and he said, ye are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. So apparently there are children of God, and there are children of Satan. I'm thankful we can exit the kingdom of Satan and become a child of God so that we can inherit heaven. We can't just show up at Heaven Gate heaven's gate and say, please let me in. All my family's in there. Really, I'm a good person. But we actually have to be a child of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we need to be careful. It is not just those that do this bad list of things. We need to watch our hearts that we are not taking pleasure in those who are doing them. Let us go to Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, we have the story of somebody who missed this most important goal. Luke 16 and 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass when the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. Did you all know that rich people die too? Did you know that the unrighteous die too? And I'm not saying it's unrighteous to be rich, but every one of us are going to come to this place. It came to pass, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there is a great gulf fixed between us and you. There is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. A great gulf fixed if we don't make it to heaven. Del Toro was a 36-year-old fisherman who left Cuba along with a dozen other Cubans. He said, I would prefer to die to reach my dream and help my family. The situation in Cuba is not very good. Crossing the Florida Straits to reach Florida from Cuba is dangerous. There are sharks and strong currents. Storms can sink boats. As many as 100,000 Cubans may have died trying to make this crossing in a time span of 35 years. del Toro and others said they spent about 3 months planning the journey and building their vessel. They used metal boards, tree nails, and 55-gallon tanks to make the boat float. It was little by little, said del Toro. There is no money over there, and everything is expensive. He said he had to sell his house to pitch in. Del Toro's boat did make it. He actually made it. But I want you to notice this man. You know what price he was willing to pay? He was willing to sell out. Sell his house. What else was he willing to do? He was willing to die trying. And with that kind of focus and God's mercy, the man made it. I want to ask you, how much is it worth to get to a better place? Y'all looking forward to heaven? Are you looking forward to a place where the wicked cease from troubling? You tired of crime? You're tired of the turmoil of this life? Are you tired of pain and sickness? How much is it worth to get to heaven? Is it worth making that our number two goal? How about number one goal by far? That it's worth more than all the riches we can accumulate, all the pleasure we can experience in this life. Whatever it takes me to get there, it is going to be worth it. Just tell me what the price is. I'll pay it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13 and 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof go and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. He sells how much? We have a song that says, I have left all the world to follow Jesus. It doesn't say I've left some of the world. It says I've left all the world to follow Jesus. See, when we value heaven enough, when we recognize what it would be worth eternally to be in a place like that, the things of this world are going to seem so worthless in comparison. We'll be willing to sell all to follow Jesus. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Heaven is an exclusive club. You have to be a member to get in. Y'all believe that? Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What does it take to get our name written in the book of life? Did you know that people do not go to heaven simply because they want to go? And they don't get there just because we want them to go, no matter how badly we want them to go. People do not go to heaven simply because a preacher tells them they are going to heaven. But people go to heaven because they have repented of their sins, because the blood of Jesus has been applied to their hearts, because their names are then written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and because they continue to follow Jesus, all the way to the time to inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit, here's this word again, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a joyful day that will be. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto me? And the king shall say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Notice the attitude of the righteous. It wasn't that they deserved going to heaven. It was, Lord, what did I do to get here? Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, verse 41, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. In prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Do you suppose it is possible for folks to think they are going to heaven and get a surprise at the end? I don't want that to happen to anyone. I want us to all be ready for that day. They were surprised that they were not granted entrance. Did you know that people do not go to heaven simply because they're raised in a Christian home? Because they go to church services? Because they go to camp meetings? Because they live good lives? It takes more than that. We actually have to do the will of the Father. Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What must we do to achieve this great goal? Let's turn to Mark 10 and 21. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he had the question, What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. So which of these requirements are for all of us? Are all of us required to go and sell everything that we have and give to the poor? Not that I'm aware of. But every one of us must take up our cross and follow Jesus if we're going to make it there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Ye have heard it was said by them of old, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Should we be careful about the types of entertainments we have if we have this as our most important goal? Is this one of the greatest dangers that we face as a people? Do we have any problems with addictions or sins that will keep us out of heaven? This is rampant in our society. God help us. These things will keep folks out of heaven. And if thy right eye offend thee, what, cover it over for a little while? Pluck it out. You see what this goal is worth? Pluck it out. And cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So what can keep us out of heaven? One of the things is lust. Pluck it out, cut it off. We must shut our senses against dangerous things to avoid the occasions of sin and to deprive ourselves of all that is most dear and profitable to us in order to save our souls. When we find that these things, however innocent in themselves, cause us to sin against God. It is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish. Men often part with some members of the body at the discretion of the surgeon that they may preserve the remainder of the body, yet they will not deprive themselves of a look, a touch, a small pleasure, which risks eternal death of the soul. It is not enough to shut the eye or stop the hand. One must be plucked out and the other cut off. Neither is this enough. We must cast them both from us. How important is it to make it from Cuba to a land of opportunity? How important is it in this short life that all of us have that we make it to that place of eternal rest? It's going to be worth anything it takes. Anything that is going to hinder us of achieving that great goal, it's going to be worth cutting it off and casting it away. Not one moment's truce with an evil passion or a sinful appetite. If you indulge them, they will gain strength and you shall be ruined. The rabbins have a saying similar to this. It is better for thee to be scorched with a little fire in this world than to be burned with a devouring fire in the world to come. So what does it take for us to get to heaven? Being baptized? Joining the church? What will it take for us to get there? One thing that is required is for us to believe. Romans 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So one of the requirements to get to heaven is that we must believe. Is believing enough? Well, James said, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. So there must be more than simply believing on Jesus. Another thing required is found in Luke 18 and 17, to become as a child. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. If we are childlike, it helps resolve disputes. It helps our faith. It helps the softness of our hearts. We must believe. We must become as a little child. We must repent. Luke chapter 15. Luke Luke 15 and 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What a beautiful ending to the story. It's available to all of us to repent. And as I said before, a requirement is we must then do the will of the Father. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And we must take up our cross, as Jesus told the rich young ruler, and follow him. The song says, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. When morning breaks eternal, bright, and fair, and when the saved of the earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." Is that your goal tonight? I hope that we all go away from here with this being, by far, our most important goal. I want to make it, whatever the cost. I want all my children, my grandchildren, to make it. Not one of them being lost is acceptable to me. Whatever the price, let's make it. Anything the Lord shows us to do, let's make it. God help us. My question for you is, how close can you live to the world and still make it to heaven? Would you like to try that? Wouldn't it be better to ask the question, how close can I live to God and still stay in this world before the Lord translates me? Let's steer away from whatever keeps us from this singular, laser-like focus on making it to heaven. Perhaps we could sing the song number 435. And tonight, maybe you're not on the way to heaven. You can be. Everyone here can make it, if you're willing to do so. And maybe this world has distracted you a little, and you would simply like to renew that focus of what your most important goal is. Tonight would be a good night to pray about that. Lord, whatever it takes, how can I do your will? How can I take up the cross better to follow you? May God bless you tonight.